Krishna. Hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hey. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Nitya Gaur. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Hiya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Thai Gaur Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav. Nithai Gaur Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav. Nithai Gaur Hari. Nithai Gaur Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav, Hari Bhav. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Giri Govardhan Ki, Govardhan Ki. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavditam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Patantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyata Padikam Shigarum Vaishnavamscha Rupam Sagrijata Sahaganad Raganatam Vikam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rahe Vrindavaneswari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Thrubhischa Kripa Sindhu Pye Bacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Kulityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, as Baladev Prabhu mentioned,
We are celebrating Govardhan Puja in a different time period, but the celebration of a great pastime of the Lord is beyond material manifestations of time, place, and circumstance. So, it's appropriate. It says that if you don't honor this particular festival, or take part in this festival, you get bitten by snakes. It says that in Shastra. So, but if you do, then you don't get bitten by snakes. So, it's good anti-snake antidote. There's a beautiful mantra that glorifies Giriraj. This is prana mantra, so I'll just read it. Namaste Giriraj Jaya Sri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nasaya Paramananda Dahine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the King of all hills, Govardhan Hill, the source of enjoyment for the senses, the land, and the cows. He is a servant of Krishna and Krishna himself. He puts an end to unlimited sufferings and bestows the supreme bliss. Now that is the pranam mantra that is used to glorify. Another one, which is really beautiful. Namo Vrindavana Nikya Tuba Goloka Maline Purna Brahmat Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha. Obeisance unto you who are the crown of Golok, who sits on the lap of Vrindavan. Obeisances to Govardhan, the parasol of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Govardhan sometimes is referred to. Actually, Srimati Radharani gave this name to Govardhan as Haridas Varya. He's the best of all the friends of Hare Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna, Haridas Varya. And he is the best of all servants because he provides nice caves, grass, water, trees, fruits, flowers, and shady areas for resting for the cows and for the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. We know Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. How dear the cows, the Brahmins, and the land of Vrindavan is to Krishna. Krishna is a person. So he has likes and more likes and more likes. And so those who are very, very dear to him are mentioned as those who are the cows, those who dedicate their life in devotional service to them, and those who serve those who dedicate their lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead's servants. So this is a beautiful pastime. I'm going to try to narrate a little bit of this pastime. It's a very lengthy pastime. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, chapter 24 and chapter 25. Two long, extensive explanations in chapter form describing Govardhan. And the little history about Govardhan is that actually Srimati Radharani was approached by Lord Sri Krishna in the spiritual world. Krishna said, get ready, we're going to the material world for our next pastimes in Vrindavan. She says, I'm not going unless Govardhan and Jamuna go. Krishna says, they have already left. So, and then of course, Srimati Radharani joined Krishna in this particular leela in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Govardhan in the spiritual world is actually a manifestation of Krishna's love for Radharani. It explained that when Krishna wanted to show extra loving affection to Srimati Radharani, he manifested from his own pure heart this loving mountain in order to please Srimati Radharani and to award her his loving sentiments. So Govardhan is actually a manifestation of Krishna's love for Radha. But it's come in the form of a huge mountain. When Govardhan came to the material world, he was 60 miles high and 40 miles around. It's a little bit smaller now. And there's the reason why is that there was a curse given by one very great personality called Pulashtyamuni, who coaxed Govardhan to gradually disappear from the earth planet and sink into the earth one mustard seed, very small, each day. And now for the last 5,100 years, the hill is very small now. It's only 21 kilometers around. That means about 14 miles as opposed to 40 miles. And it's not very high. It's only a few meters higher or more. And so Govardhan is disappearing from the world. But this is part of Govardhan's Leela. Because ultimately, Govardhan wants to return to the spiritual world. So in order to act that disappearance, this curse was manifested as an arrangement by the Lord in order to bring Govardhan and Jamuna back to the spiritual world. The story goes that Govardhan appeared in the Himalayas, in one ashram of a great sage named Dronachala. Dronachala was a great sage, and Govardhan actually became his son in the form of a mountain. One Muni, Pulashtyamuni, was traveling, and he stopped at the ashram of Dronachala. And he wanted, after staying for some time, it is appropriate to reward your guests with some dakshin, something. One has to reward, or in some way, offer some personal item for the pleasure of the visiting sadhu. And so, but he requested something that Dronachala wasn't ready to give. That was his son, who was Govardhan. So when he requested Govardhan, he said, actually, I have to go to Kasi, and I have to perform my puja there. And Govardhan is perfect for everything I need for my puja. And I will take Govardhan with me. Please give me permission. Dronachala knew that he, if he refused, this Muni would have cursed him. So in order to avoid a curse, he granted it reluctantly. It was a reluctant gift. It's not really a gift when you give something to someone in a reluctant way, but still, in order to avoid the cursing. Govardhan agreed to go because of his father's giving permission or allowing him to go, wanting him to go. But Govardhan said to Pulashtyamuni, you can carry me and I'll go with you, but there's one condition. You can't put me down. Wherever you put me down, that's where I stay. So, now, Pulashtya, by his power, his Brahma Tejas, he's carrying this mountain, powerful, huge mountain, and he's heading towards Kasi. Now, when they get to the area of Vrindavan, Govardhan realized soon Krishna will appear here and perform his pastimes. So I'm supposed to be here. So Govardhan became very, very heavy, extremely heavy. So heavy that Pulasya Muni couldn't hold him. And so he was forced to place him down in the area of Vrindavan. But he became angry. He said, "Ah, you have tricked me." And because you have done that, of course we mentioned the curse. I curse you that you will disappear into the earth one mustard seed for every day. And now we curse. We see the mountain. We just did the Govardhan Parikram just a few days ago. Actually, it was 1 week ago on the 3rd of this month. And it was only 21 kilometers around, for about 14 miles. For people in Kali Yuga, that's a long way. For those in Satya Yuga, who are more endowed with spiritual acumen and much more powerful in all in physical prowess, 21 kilometers is like, you know, walking up two steps of stairs or something. Very easy. But for us in Kali Yuga, it can be a great austerity. And now, so Govardhan is there, and now, this happened in Satya Yuga. Now, but Pulasya Muni said that actually, in the Dwapara Yuga, Krishna will come and he will perform his pastimes here, because he also knew. But somehow or other, the yugas got changed around. Dwarpa means two, and Treta means three. And we see now the sequence of yugas are Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. So we see how the order was changed. Why was that? Because Ravana appeared in the Treta Yuga. And because he appeared in the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga was pushed after by the arrangements of Lord Brahma. So Govardhan could perform his pastimes with Krishna in the Dwapara Yuga, like that, free from the influence of the association of Ravana. During that time, when Ravana was there, when there was a need to build the bridge, Hanuman went to the Himalaya, went to Vrindavan and grabbed Govardhan and brought him to assist in the building of the bridge. But when they got there, it was already built. So Govardhan was really happy knowing that he would assist the Lord in his pastimes as Sri Ramchandra. But when it actually came to be, he wasn't needed. And so he was lamenting. But Ramchandra told him, "No, actually I will come in my form in the next stage as Lord Sri Krishna, and I will perform my pastimes on your hill." And so he gave him some spiritual solace. So then, of course, in the following yuga, Krishna appeared. Now, how did this whole pastime came about? Nanda Maharaj, he was an agriculturalist. And every year, during a certain time of the year, during this time of the year, he would perform the Indra Yajna in order to give honor and worship to Indra. Because Indra is a powerful demigod, and he is in charge of the material elements, especially for rain. So Krishna, he saw what his father was doing. He said, "My dear father, what is this arrangement you're doing? What is this great sacrifice? What is the result? Who is it meant for? Why is it being performed?" His father thinks, "What is this talkative child? He doesn't know so much. Why is he asking these questions?" He said, he tried to dissuade him, but Krishna said, "You know, for family members, there's no secrecy. So why should you withhold the reason from me?" Actually, if those who are mimical, we can be secret to. But I am, you know, I am your son. Please tell me. He said, my dear boy, this sermon performance is more or less traditional because rainfall is the mercy of King Indra and the clouds are his representatives. So therefore, we have to satisfy Indra by performing this yajna. Krishna listened to all the statements given by his father, and the cowherd boys were, cowherd men were also there. And Krishna said, no need to worship the demigods. And he said, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that worship is complete. So the demigods can only supply temporary benefits. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita carefully explains that there's no need for worshiping the demigods. And those who worship the demigods, they are less intelligent. And any material results given by the demigods are simply temporary. And any results given by the demigods are actually given by Krishna himself. So what is the use of why worship the demigods? So in this way, Krishna gave these arguments to his father. And then his father was listening, but he said, actually, you know, worship is important because we have to satisfy a personality in order to get the benefits. Just like when you go to a doctor for some kind of physical treatment, you have to, you know, give some remuneration for the doctor's services. And Krishna says, but that is not important. Actually, we don't have to satisfy these demigods because the demigods automatically supply everything by the arrangements of the Supreme Personality of God. And as far as rain is concerned, rain falls on the rocks, it falls on the mountains, it falls everywhere. So therefore, and Krishna starts speaking atheist philosophy, which is known as karma mimamsa, he said, I don't think you need to worship any demigods. Every living being is born according to his past karma. Therefore, we should simply do our work nicely. And if we perform our work very nicely, automatically we will get the results. What is the use of worshiping any personality? God is speaking about don't worship anybody. So Nanda Maharaj and others, they were listening. And Krishna was very convincing, explaining the idea that work is worship. Now, don't take this as this is not the philosophy. Krishna was using this reverse psychology in order to trick his father into giving up this demigod worship. Because Krishna wanted the worship to be diverted where the worshipers should be worshipped. And therefore, he said, we are agriculturalists. We depend on crops. And our crops are very much dependent on our livestock, cows. And we should worship the cows. And we should worship the land. And especially Govardhan, he provides so many nice things, grasses and fruits, flowers, everything we need for our livelihood. And because the cows get everything for their livelihood, the cows are giving us so much. We depend so much on the cows. So let's worship the cows. And Govardhan Hill also. So Nanda Maharaj consulted with some of his associates, the other cowherd men, and they agreed to Krishna's proposal. Krishna spoke very convincingly. Now they stopped the Indra Yajna, and now they're going to use that yajna and all the paraphernalia to worship Sri Govardhan. But Indra, he's not so happy. He's hearing about what's happening. And now it's time for his worship to happen, and it's not happening. And now Krishna wanted to get Indra angry. He did it purposely just to get him angry because he knew that Indra was a little proud. Sometimes when you have a big position and you have a lot of influence over other people, you somehow or other think that you are somebody special and you are better than others or you are deserving of special treatment. So Indra was, because he has such influence, power, and so many persons working under his command, Krishna thought of it. Time to destroy that pride. So, therefore, Indra didn't get anything. Now, Indra's becoming angry. It says that when one becomes dependent, or what we say, feels like I should receive something because of who I am, and I don't, get angry. It's due to pride. Pride comes by way of various types of misunderstandings of one's real position as being a humble servant. But Indra, although he worships the Supreme Lord in his abode, still he has a tendency to be proud of his position and wants due respect according to that position. And so now he's really angry. Not only angry, he is so angry. His anger is like beyond himself. Who is this talkative little child? He has diverted my worship away, and now the cowherd men are listening to him. They should all be punished. So what does he do? He's not a small punishment. He calls the most powerful clouds, rain clouds, in his entourage. These clouds are used at the devastation of the universe. He calls Sambhataka clouds, very powerful clouds. And he says, go to Vrindavan and inundate and just pour your waters on Vrindavan and submerge Vrindavan in water. Whoa, that means, what was Indra doing? He was trying to kill the residents of Vrindavan, which are Krishna's intimate associates and friends. And so they went, and they start pouring this rain, and the rain was coming, not in drops or even in showers, but it was coming in sheets of pillars. Just, it was like waterfalls coming down onto the land of Vrindavan, and fast the whole area started to become submerged. Gradually the cowherd, all the residents of Vrindavan were seeking higher and higher land, but there was no other place to go. Krishna started to realize what was happening, and then he came out and said that he took action. And of course it says that when he came out, Anantashesh covered his head so he didn't get wet. He saw the situation, and he had his own umbrella with him, Anantashesh. And Krishna went right to Govardhan Hill and picked up this huge mountain and held it over his head and indicated to all the residents of Vrindavan, the cows, to please get underneath. And so they all did. And for 7 days, Krishna held up that hill. Now, I forgot one part of this pastime, and you're wondering what happened. But before that, before Indra came, they had a beautiful ceremony honoring Govardhan Hill. And people from all the villages, even in Vrindavan and in the areas around, were bringing all kinds of bhoga. And Krishna conducted this whole ceremony. He said, perform this Govardhan Puja and prepare so many nice preparations, sweet rice and rubri and kashuris and dal and rice and chapatis and malpura and laddus. What else? Sweet rice. There was no pizza. That was later. That's the post-Govardhan pastime for the modern-day Govardhanis. So there were so many wonderful preparations. They're all described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they started to circumambulate the hill with the cows in the front and the Brahmins there and everyone. And everyone was singing the glories of Lord Shri Krishna as they were going around the hill. There's a beautiful song by Jiva Goswami. It's mentioned in Gopal Champu. It's called Dalok Agopala. You're familiar with that song? It's describing what they sang when they went around the hill. It's a beautiful song. And they're all singing Giri Puyaya Vihitakena, means who is that person who we are worshiping? He is Archisakrapada Abhayena. He is Trinavartatana Baladam Yena. He is Vatsabhaka Surahananana Yena. Yomagata Suramaranana Yena. Kali Damana Kalita Yena. Kara Palamba Bhaka Samanana Yena. Dvava Yukman Pravipatam Yena. Tasyati Kamsa Satatal Yena. In other words, he's the person who killed all these different demons. And then they're singing the glories of the Krishna, killing all these different demons as they're all circulating. And it's a very joyful festival. And all this cooking is going on and all these offerings are being made to Govardhan. And now the hill is surrounded with all this wonderful, wonderful bhoga. And at one point during the whole ceremony, Giriraj, Govardhan, the hill itself, started to eat. Oh, he extended his arms outward and he started to bring in all the food. And he was eating, and it was all disappearing. And the hill was becoming satisfied, but at the same time everything was going. Finally, there was nothing left. Giriraj ate everything. And then he said, Aniyor, give me more. I want more. The prasadam's not enough. Give me more. Aniyor. And there was no more. Everybody had exhausted all their stocks of all their bhoga, and everyone was just thinking, what can we else? And Giriraj was not letting up. Aniyor, give me more. Then one Brahmin, he said, give him a tulsi leaf. And so someone brought some tulsi leaves and offered it to Giriraj. Giriraj was satisfied. So one of the reasons why Krishna arranged for this pastime is to teach that the Lord, he has offered so many wonderful preparations, but he is not satisfied unless that preparation is decorated with tulsi manjari, like that. So, as soon as that tulsi leaf came, and Giriraj was completely satisfied. And then what was his satisfaction? He gave everything back. From the hill, everything that he had consumed actually ran and became Giriraj Prasad. And everyone had a wonderful feast. But then, that's when Indra came with his reign, and then he started to torment the whole area, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held that hill up for 7 full days. During that time, so many wonderful pastimes were going on. Why did Krishna lift the hill with his left hand? Krishna is he's right-handed. He lifted it with his left hand, but he lifted it not with his left hand, but with a pinky of his left hand. The smallest and most insignificant part of the hand in terms of strength is the pinky. It's the weakest of all fingers. But for Krishna, everything is absolute. So his pinky is just as strong as anything else. And so, but he wanted to show Indra himself that, you think you're so powerful. I have more power in the pinky of my left hand than you have in your whole existence as the king of heaven. And so Krishna wanted to make Indra embarrassed. So he held it up for 7 days. And so many wonderful pastimes were going on. Mother Yasoda, she was worried that Krishna wasn't eating while he was holding up the hill. So she was cooking for him while he was there and offering him nice food. The gopis also came to take darshan of Krishna. But a special group of gopis also came, and these were the younger gopis. These were the gopis that had heard about Krishna, but had never actually had the association of Krishna. They were small gopis. And they came, and Krishna specifically performed this pastime in order to give this group of gopis the opportunity for his darshan. And these were the younger gopis. So it mentions that this particular mood that the gopis manifested was called Purvaras. Purvaras means loving Krishna before meeting Krishna. We can also say that as devotees of Krishna, we are also in Purvaras, in the sense that we have forgot our relationship with Krishna. And so therefore we are again learning that relationship for Krishna. And in that process of learning is the whole science of bhakti yoga. But our forgetfulness is simply due to our association with the material energy. So we are actually in that same mood as loving Krishna before meeting Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it so nice that you could meet Krishna directly in the sound of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna manifests his mercy in the form of the holy name for us as a chance for us to actually develop our love for Krishna. But now these gopis were so happy. And they were just wide-eyed, just staring at Krishna for 7 full days. And so many wonderful pastimes were going on during that time. Indra was pounding the hill with his thunderbolts along with the rain. But Govardhan was being held up just like a child picks up a mushroom. So insignificant. And that hill, although it was being hit by these powerful thunderbolts of Lord Indra and all this rain, it was feeling completely satisfied because it was touched by the lotus finger of Sri Krishna. Therefore, it didn't feel the slightest bit of inconvenience. In fact, not only did it not feel any inconvenience, it was feeling ecstasy being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. And now Indra is getting more and more frustrated. And he can't do anything. He's exhausting all his power trying to destroy. And while it was raining, it was really raining, but underneath the mountain everything was completely dry. Because Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna's heat weapon, was drying up all the water even before it was hitting the ground. So this is important to understand, that Krishna does so many things at the same time. Sometimes people wonder how God can do everything at the same time. It's because he's God. We try to measure God by our limited understanding. If you try to understand God by your own logic, your reasoning, or even in your great intelligence, you may have great intelligence, you will always be baffled. Because if we could understand God, we'd be as good as God. Therefore, we have to understand God by the mercy of God. And how does that mercy manifest? It manifests when we please the Lord by our devotional service to the Lord. Krishna reveals himself to the devotee, and that revelation comes by understanding what are some of the qualities of Krishna, what are some of the activities of Krishna, what is his relationship with each and every living entity. So Krishna reveals the knowledge of himself when he is pleased by our devotional service. So Krishna's there, and so many pastimes are going on. Now Krishna's a young boy, and you know, young boys are attracted to young girls. It's natural. So now Krishna's, while he's holding the hill, left hand, he starts noticing one of the breasts of one of the gopis. And he's looking, and then his finger is starting to shake a little. And now he's starting to lose the hill a little. Looks like it. And so the cowherd men are getting all worried. Now, Krishna needs some help. So then they take their sticks, and they push it under the bottom of the hill to hold it up. And like, we need to support Krishna. You know, later on, after this pastime was over, you know, they asked Krishna, how did you do that? How did you hold up that big hill? And Madhu Mangal, Krishna's boyfriend, he was there. He said, he didn't do it, I did it. I'm a Brahmin. And you know, I have Brahma Tejas. And so I was chanting mantras to give Krishna the power to hold the hill. That's how he did it. I was praying for him, and I was chanting mantras. So, you know, he wanted to get his... This is Krishna's, you know, cowherd boyfriend, Madhu. But when Krishna was holding up that hill, and he was looking at this gopi, Balaram noticed what he was doing. And then Balaram caught him. Nobody else caught him except Balaram. And then he's embarrassed because his big brother is now realizing he's looking at this gopi. And so he starts blushing. Starts getting a little bit embarrassed. So Krishna's performing his human leelas at the same time he's performing his leelas as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just to attract the loving sentiments of his devotees. So finally, Indra, he's frustrated. He doesn't know what to do. So now the clouds return to Indra and said, we're finished. We're out. Our waters are exhausted. We have nothing left. We're tired. We quit. We can't do it. You know, don't give us any more service like this. So now they came back to Indra, and Indra doesn't know what to do. And then, so now Indra starts to realize, well, maybe this person who's holding up this hill, maybe he's God. And he realizes actually within his heart it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead whom he tried to, you know, cause difficulty to and destroy his friends and devotees. So now Indra is embarrassed. Not only is he embarrassed, he's fearful. He's really afraid. And so now he's thinking what to do. Oh my God, I committed... Not only did I commit an offense, I committed a maha offense. So now he's worried. So then he goes to his guru, Brihaspati, and tells Brihaspati the situation. Brihaspati doesn't give him any hope. He said, you blew it. You made a mistake. It's God. You would try to kill him and his servant. You're in trouble, Indra. Adibal. That didn't help. So now he doesn't know what to do. And then Lord Brahma also comes and says, Indra, actually, you know, you made a big mistake. So, but then Indra says, well, what can I do? How can I atone for this? What can I do? Well, Brahma says, I do have an idea. Krishna is very fond of cows. And so you should bring the Sarabi cow, the best of all cows, and have Sarabi approach Krishna on your behalf and offer Krishna so many wonderful services. And if Sarabi pleases Krishna by these services, then you may get free, you might get the mercy of Krishna, or you might get the forgiveness of Krishna. And so, Indra approached Sarabi, and Sarabi went. And there's a place called Sarabi Kunj there. And this is the place where Indra approached Sarabi. But there's another place called Govinda Kund, which is also part of the Parikram path that goes around Govardhan. And in this place is where Sarabi actually approached Krishna and offered nice abhishek to Krishna. She bathed him with her milk, and Krishna was satisfied by Sarabi's abhishek and wonderful devotion. But still, now Krishna felt a little bit less angry at Indra. But Indra still, why did he want to get forgiveness? Sometimes, not sometimes, maybe say a lot of times, when we do something wrong to someone and we realize we've made a mistake or if we've committed an offense, we think, what's going to happen to me? Right? So that was the mentality of Indra. He's thinking, what will be the reactions? How will I have to suffer? What will be my, you know, what will be my destiny? He's thinking about himself. Krishna saw that, and therefore he didn't immediately forgive. He was waiting for Indra to come free from that tendency for his own personal safety. When he was truly, truly, from the core of his heart, sorry that he had caused such inconveniences, apparently inconveniences, to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. When Krishna saw that, and Indra approached Krishna, and Indra tried to speak to Krishna, and Krishna wouldn't listen to him until Indra came to that point of actually saying, I realize I caused you so much. And he was really sorry from the core of his heart. Then, only then did Krishna forgive him. Not before then. So this is a nice lesson to learn. That sometimes when we do something that is, when we realize we've made a mistake, we usually think in terms of what will happen to me. But really, what inconvenience I caused or what offense I did to another person should be more the mindset that this is why I'm suffering, because I've caused you suffering, therefore I'm suffering. So Indra Krishna performed this pastime of lifting this Govardhan hill. And there's many, many reasons why he performed this wonderful pastime. Prior to Govardhan on the actual day, the day before is Diwali, right? And before Diwali, for 2 weeks before Diwali, there are so many pujas. There's Indra pujas, there's pujas to who else? Lakshmi Devi and Durga, this puja, that puja, that. Krishna performed this leela right at the end of all these pujas just to show that if you worship me, there's no need to worship any other deva. And he explains that in Bhagavad Gita, that actually worship, it's mentioned in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, worship is meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To honor the demigods is a regulative principle. To give honor to these great personalities who are assistants of Krishna's maintenance needs. They help maintain. But it's Krishna that does everything through these powerful personalities. So Krishna uses them to do service for others, and therefore they should be respected and honored. But worship goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this pastime is an important pastime to help to establish exclusive worship on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's that verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Devarsi Putatman Pritring Pritirnam Nakinta Narayan Vrini Janajam Sarvatmayam Saranam Kato Mukundam Gri Pritiritya Kartum. It says that when we are born in this world, we have so many debts. We have debts to the ancestors who have given us the tradition that we are born into, our parents who have given us our body and help us to grow, and the love they have given us. We have debts to the sages who provide spiritual knowledge. We have debts to the demigods who give us so many of the material needs that we need. We have debts to the earth for providing everything we need. But it says that these debts are automatically, what we say, paid by one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead in exclusive devotion. What is that verse? That it's mentioned that when you put the food in the stomach, all the limbs, all the parts of the body get nourished. When you put water on the root of the tree, then the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, the twigs, everything in connection with the root gets the benefit of the watering process. In the same way, when we give our devotion to Krishna, every living entity benefits. Not only Krishna, not only the person who gives, but it says that even like if you become liberated in this life, then 14 generations of your forefathers will also get liberation simply by the power of your devotional service. That's how powerful devotional service is. Therefore, one who exclusively worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead satisfies everyone perfectly and completely. We haven't fully come to that understanding yet, but because we don't really understand deeply how powerful worship is to the Supreme Lord. But because he is called Mula, one of the names for Krishna is Mula, he is the root of all existence, the source of everything, and the cause of everything, and the maintenance of everything, and everything is his energy, and everything is controlled by him, both directly and indirectly. So one who worships Krishna in pure devotional service actually achieves perfection in all aspects of life. That is, so therefore there's no need to divert one's attention away. Another reason why Krishna did this was to smash the pride of Indra. He was so proud of being such a powerful demigod. And so his pride was smashed. It says that pride can come in different forms. People have pride because they're born in a good family. They have so much family tradition, or pious family. And people feel a little proud of having been born in a nice family. Born in a wealthy family. Wealth causes pride. Being born beautiful, having very nice physical bodily features, which are attractive to others, that type of pride may also manifest. If a person is good at something, and other people notice that and give some praise to that person, they can become proud of their achievements or their abilities. One who has knowledge, that's another type of pride. So pride can come in different forms. What is the greatest form of pride? Out of all these, Krishna performed this pastime. We sing the Dambodara Astika every night, and every morning also we're honoring Lord Damodar in his form as a baby, because he performed this pastime in order to help fulfill the desire of his great devotee Narada Muni, who cursed two powerful demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who are so proud of their heritage of being born in such a great family as the richest family in the universe. They were sons of Kuvera. They had so much wealth, and they had so much facility to enjoy that wealth. But they became proud and didn't take what we say proper activities when Narada Muni came. So what happened? They were cursed. So Prabhupada writes in this particular section of the Bhagavatam, he says that of all the kinds of pride that one can develop, the greatest pride is the pride of wealth. He said that is the strongest. And we see, of course, when one uses their wealth in the service of the Lord, then that wealth actually becomes an opportunity to awaken pure devotional service. Manaso deho geho, yukichu mor arpilu putu apade nanda kishore bhakti vinota kur. Praise that everything I have, it's yours anyway. When I use it in your service, it becomes a source of great happiness for me. Like that. But we see sometimes the materialistic persons, when you try to preach to them, those who have good positions and high, great amounts of wealth, they don't see the need to take the devotional service because they think they have achieved success in life simply by their material achievements. But the time factor will change everything. And as time comes along, everything else that one has gained becomes a part of one's past history. And so, and so Krishna wanted to smash that. He wanted to satisfy the young gopis by giving them their darshan for 7 continuous days. He wanted to show the benefits of distribution of prasadam. He distributed so much prasadam to all the residents. Srila Prabhupada adopted this whole process of prasadam distribution as one of the main activities in our Krishna consciousness movement. He said, in each and every temple, we should distribute prasadam within a 10-mile radius. No one should go hungry within 10 miles of our temples, they said. We should always have prasadam ready when anyone comes. Every guest that comes to the temple should be given an opportunity to receive Krishna prasadam. Prabhupada would say, we have 2 weapons. We have the holy name and we have prasadam. One is the obvious weapon and the other one is the secret weapon. Prasadam is the secret weapon because one, simply by enjoying the opportunity to taste nice foodstuffs, one's mind is becoming purified simply by coming in contact with the mercy of the Lord in the form of Krishna prasadam, like that. In Prabhupada's last days, when he was preaching to his disciples, when he was just before he left the planet, he says, people in this age cannot understand philosophy. It is very difficult. Therefore, what we should do as a society, we should emphasize kirtan and prasadam distribution. He said, spread this everywhere, and this will attract the conditioned souls and bring Krishna consciousness more and more. He mentions it 3 times within the last few months in his lectures, the importance of prasadam distribution. And also, Krishna wanted to establish the worship of Govardhan. Govardhan is none different than Krishna. Krishna took the form of Govardhan during this wonderful Leela, and Krishna ate everything in the form of the hill just to satisfy his residents. And another principle that Krishna taught is that to teach exclusive dependence upon him in all situations. The residents of Vrindavan, they didn't know anything but Krishna. And therefore, when they were in danger, they didn't go to their cell phones and dial 911. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. They were just saying, Krishna, Krishna, the cows, we are in danger. Indra is becoming angry. Please save us. So this is a devotee. When a devotee finds himself or herself in a difficult situation, they immediately think of Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada used to say, you should always think of Krishna, because this material world is full of dangers. Padam padam yad vipadam, that there is dangers at every step. So why just wait for situations to come, and then one becomes concerned about one's own welfare? No, this whole material world is a very dangerous place. At any time, Prabhupada's on one morning walk in Denver, Colorado, and they're walking through this beautiful park. Prabhupada's admiring how nice this park was. And Prabhupada at one point he said, you know, this material world is such that at any moment everything could be changed. One minute everything is nice, and next minute this is the material world. It's a very precarious and unpredictable place. So this is a dangerous place, this material world. Bhakti Siddhanta used to say, no place for a gentleman nor a gentle lady. Anyone who has intelligence understands that this is not a place of happiness. It's a place to struggle to somehow or other exist. That's material life. But for devotees, this place is an opportunity to get out of this place and go back to the spiritual world by using whatever Krishna has given us in his service, including our own minds and bodies. Another important thing that Krishna established, the importance of using tulsi leaves and putting tulsi leaves on prasadam. That was one of the reasons Krishna performed this pastime. And another one is to show the super excellent devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. How they were so devoted to Krishna. And they couldn't think of anything but Krishna. They could only depend on Krishna in all situations. So see some of the reasons why Krishna performed these pastimes. So when Krishna does something, he always accomplishes so many things in one opportunity. So this is one of his most important leelas. And he manifests himself now as the rocks in Govardhan Hill. And they are called Giriraj. Devotees sometimes get the opportunity by the permission of the great Babajis and great personalities that live in Govardhan to receive the mercy of that type of worship and worship Giriraj. So Krishna has come in the form of these rocks, and we can worship as being none different to himself. And Giriraj is very kind and very merciful, and he likes to eat a lot, and he loves sweets. We were performing this leela in Hungary a few years ago under the guidance of Shivaram Maharaj. And the temple is huge. We filled up half the temple with prasadam. And they measured, there was 2.2 tons of sweets. Just sweets. I think they're going to try to outdo it today. Let's see. 2.2 tons. I don't know, the ton is, what, how much is that? 1,000? 1,000 kgs. Whoa. 2.2 tons of sweets. And there were 5 tons of sugar used to make the sweets. No, I'm sorry, not 5 tons. 1 ton. 1 ton of sugar. That makes sense. Yeah. 1 ton. 5 is another. 1 ton of sugar. Yeah. And so, yeah. So Giriraj, he likes sweets. You want to make him happy? If you're worshiping Giriraj, just offer him sweets. And if you don't, he'll steal them anyway. Okay, so these are some of the reasons Krishna performed this wonderful pastime. In his Balila, he was Damodar stealing butter. In his Puganda Leela, he was Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. And in his Kishore Leela, he was Krishna performing Rasa dance. In each of these ages of Krishna, there's an outstanding pastime that the Lord performed, which we find great happiness in talking about and worshiping. So in his Puganda Leela, Krishna was 7.5 years old during the time of this Leela. So, okay, we're coming up to the time. Is there any comments or questions? I'm not sure if I'm supposed to ask for questions. No? Okay. So we have 5 minutes before 12, so 12 o'clock is the puja. Okay. If there's no questions, we can have kirtan. Sri Gaugiriraj Maharaj ki, Govardhan Dari ki, Govardhan Lal ki, Haridas Varya ki. You ready? Okay. So,
Hare Krishna. Anka. Hare Krishna, so the offering is done. So now we'll be having aarti. The aarti will be performed by Isolina Chandramuri Swami Maharaj. So a small request to all of you is that kindly attend the whole aarti, because after the aarti is over, then there is chance to do Giriraj Parikrama. Generally, other times when aarti starts, then we go for prasadam, right? So you wait for the whole aarti to get over, then there are two Giriraj mountain rise. And there is also Giriraj Shila in that. So one of them will be in the Gopalji Hall for the Matajis to circumvent. One of them will be in Gauranita Hall for Prabhuji's. So do Parikrama and then you can go down and take Prasadam. So this is important. Hare Krishna. So now we'll Aarti. Kindly rise and take darshan of Shri Giriraj. Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki.